Ilaf is 10 years old. She survived Monday's earthquake. Others are still being pulled out from under the rubble of collapsed buildings across Syrian cities and towns, but many didn't survive. Ilaf tells rescuers that her siblings and mother are dead under their destroyed house. In the opposition-controlled northwest of Syria, the civil defense members are working on their own without the specialized equipment needed to deal with a disaster of this scale.
I've been waiting for news of my father, my mother, brother, sister, and Hassan. I talked to them and heard their voices, but work is too slow.
Rescue workers are appealing for international assistance, but the opposition-controlled region is one of the hardest places to reach in Syria. It's been blockaded by government forces and their allies during the course of the war, and the only lifeline has been help sent over crossings from Derkiye through what is now also the worst-hit part of that country. The devastation in cities like Antakya and Gaziantep makes it difficult for aid to be brought through. The United Nations says roads leading to Bab al-Hawa have been damaged or closed. It's the only crossing that can be used according to a UN resolution. With the backing of Russia, the Syrian government has ensured all aid goes through Damascus, and it's insisting this should continue now too as it struggles with the disaster. But critics say they don't trust Syria's authorities.
I don't think any of the Syrians refuse or mind or reject that the Assad regime receives aid. It's just that we know for sure he is never, never going to give the people that are in need any kind of aid.
While some friendly countries have been sending aid directly to Damascus, much of the international community is avoiding dealing with a government sanctioned for war crimes against its own people. Long accused of using aid as a weapon of war, it's now seen as politicizing a catastrophe, blaming Western sanctions for worsening the situation.
Lots of the airplane, cargo airplane, refused to land on Syrian airports because of the American and European sanctions.
American and EU officials insist sanctions don't affect humanitarian aid and say it will continue to be provided in all parts of Syria, but not through the Assad regime. They say most of the damage has been in the opposition-controlled north, where some aid has started to trickle in. But rescuers say it's not enough. Zana Khudr, Al Jazeera, Beirut.
Mohanad Hari is the UN Regional Humanitarian Coordinator for Syria. He's joining us now from Amman. Very good to have you with us, sir, on Al Jazeera. In Zena's report there, we were just hearing that Western countries were saying that aid would continue to be provided, but it would not be funneled through the government in Damascus. In practical terms, how much aid is likely to get to the people who need it most in northern Syria?
Thank you for having me on your show. And to start with, this is really a devastating situation. I mean, we thought when it could not get much worse for the Syrian people, now we have this earthquake. Syria, even before this, it suffered from so much devastation and suffering. The people, there are 90% of the Syrians are below poverty line. In Idlib alone, more than 4 million people are totally dependent on humanitarian assistance. And now with this destruction, definitely the humanitarian assistance is much more needed. We're working with all parties, we're working with all with member states, with everybody to make sure that the humanitarian work continues, not just continue at the same level, but increases because of the needs that are increasing. People there wait for help. They honestly don't care from which direction it comes. It's just we want to make sure that we reach them. We in the humanitarian world, the NGOs, the United Nations agencies, and other humanitarian workers want to make sure that we reach the people and we totally depoliticize the humanitarian work. For us, our main objective is to make sure that none is left without support and without help. Mm. We would like to use all modalities, cross-border, cross-line, anything that is possible and within our means to reach the people.
Mm. How possible is that, though, given the fact that the Bashar al-Assad government has a history of withholding aid because it is fighting, as it describes them, rebel armed fighters in Syria, and it doesn't want to give them any help? How, again, in practical terms, how much aid can people actually expect to get when the lines of access are actually seemingly very limited?
Well, we have some cross-line missions that went from the government-controlled area to Idlib, but we mainly depend on cross-border operations. And as it was reported earlier, the road from Gaziantep to the border has been damaged. Today, we heard good news that the road now is accessible. We're hoping to be able to resume our cross-border activities as soon as possible. We looked for alternative routes which were not feasible yesterday. So with the good news we have today, I mean, the road is partly damaged. It's not in its best condition, but it's in a condition that would allow us to resume the cross-border operation. So between the cross-border, cross-line, we're hoping to be able to go back to our human, to our, not just the level we were operating at, but at a higher level if possible.
Mm. When we have situations like this in the past, people around the world come together, very often collect old clothes, items that they have from home, and make donations to aid agencies, thinking that that is the kind of thing that will help. What is better, to provide stuff like that or to provide money?
You know, we are at an early stage of crisis. Information and data is still not very clear. But at this time, usually we need all type of assistance. We started receiving some in-kind assistance. We're also, of course, we need financial support, but we also need a lot of political support. Usually in cases like this, the first thing that is needed is rescue, is search and rescue. Then shelter, of course. And we're talking about weather conditions that are extreme here. People are stranded in the streets without shelter, without proper clothing, without blankets. So those are the needs. And on top of that, of course, is the lack of food. People probably lost all of their belongings, which makes it difficult for them to survive. You know, when you lose all your coping mechanism, when you're already at a very difficult condition, that's really, really very, very harsh and very difficult. I just want all your viewers to remember that the women and the children, the elderly, what they are going through, and especially through this snowstorm that we are having nowadays in the region.
Mohanan Hadi, we appreciate you being with us on Al Jazeera and giving us that benefit of your expertise in this. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.